Welcome to Digital Transformers, the show that connects you with what you need to build, manage, and operate your digital supply chain. Join your host in a timely discussion on new and future business models with industry-leading executives. The show will reveal global customer expectations, real-world deployment challenges, and the value of advanced business technologies like artificial intelligence, blockchain, and robotic process engineering. And now, we bring you Digital Transformers.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kevin L. Jackson. I'm here to present to you the Digital Asset Innovators. This is a series from the National DigiFoundry where we highlight the individuals and organizations that are innovating across the digital asset ecosystem. Today, I am so happy to have with me innovators from the Blockchain Academy, Mr. Ryan Williams and Mr. Brian Nielsen. I had to make sure I had said that right. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Ryan, the Blockchain Academy, I mean, you are what you say you are, right?
Yeah,
quite. Tell us a little bit about yourself and the Blockchain Academy.
Yeah, absolutely. I would call myself a workforce professional. I feel, you know, education is a means to getting job and employment, right? And that's the space I've always been with college and universities mainly. And without the right skills, particularly as we go forward, I very much feel we need to partner to distribute knowledge and information and workforce development. So that's what's brought me into this space with my partner, Brian Nielsen here.
It's sort of a unique arrangement. I understand that, I guess, Brian actually founded the Blockchain Academy, but now you have another organization that you're leading.
Correct. So I founded the Blockchain Academy due to a client request back in 2015, and we delivered our first training in January of 2016. But as we've come through this journey, one of the things that we've actually come to understand is that having education by itself is not necessarily sufficient. What you end up having to do is you have to have a certification that is a part of the process. It's the validation of knowledge and an understanding of what is required to perform in something like emerging technologies like blockchain. So what we've done is we've created the Web3 certification board, and it's kind of forced me to actually step away from the Blockchain Academy simply because the certifications that we're trying to establish are going to be ISO and ANSI certified certifications. And as a result of that, I have to have a level of independence. But what the certifications brings to the National DigiFoundry is it brings to it two things. It brings a touchstone to the accomplishments of all the participants in terms of validating their skill sets, not only for their participation in the DAO, but also for their employment outside of the DAO. And it allows for then people to globally, accessibly use these certifications to represent not only what they can do as an organization, but what they can do as individuals.
Well, you know, when you started the Blockchain Academy, when anybody hears about this, the first thing that comes to their mind is like Bitcoin. And the next thing that comes to mind is it must be a scam. So how did you survive? Or what made people say, yeah, I want to do that?
You know, that's been one of the how do we put it? It's an urban legend.
Urban legend.
Where there's a story about what Bitcoin is and what blockchain is. And what we've found is that it takes only a little explanation as to understand what the difference is between Bitcoin and blockchain. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin by itself is just a single application. So if you went to Northern California and you went to the forests up there where the sequoia trees are there, you can see these massive, massive trees that go 300 feet into the air. And they're so big around, they've lived for probably thousands of years, that you could drive a car through some of them. That's how large they are. But they're not the whole forest. So Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are these magnificent sequoia trees. And it's impressive.
Yeah.
It is impactful, but it's not the whole forest. Blockchain is the forest. It is the entire infrastructure. It is It is, using this same analogy, it is the soil, it is the rocks, it is the rainfall, it is the rivers, it's everything else. But you still can recognize that Bitcoin is part of it. I've seen many graphs that give a large circle as to what Bitcoin technology represents. And it's always funny because they put a little teeny circle right at the bottom and then says, that's crypto. And so it's not been a difficult thing, but it does require education.
No, that's great. So, but now, Ryan, you're actually innovating in the education space around Web3 and cryptocurrency and crypto,
any of these emerging technologies, you know.
What's the innovation you're doing here?
Well, one, every asset, whether it's IP or a physical asset, will be tokenized over time. And the more we can tokenize and granularize education and skills, that's the space I'm in, but you can talk about coral reefs and trees and real estate, everything will be tokenized. And so this major sea change from Web 2 to Web 3, and we've been living through the internet, right? Mm-hmm. But now we get to own the internet. And this is something that's really lost on people as we make this transition, and it's kind of going back to the individual, right? We're no longer our data should come back to us, and we have to take control of this. So, but the college and universities and higher education, you know, they've been doing what they've been doing for so long, and they're great at research, but when it comes to these emerging technologies and the skills that are needed right now, because we're innovating a lot faster than previously before, we feel it's our mission to really help schools, you know, launch quickly, or you know, experiments like the DAO, to quickly educate everybody that's part of it, give them the tools and resources to get started, and then we hope to establish standards in the industry that are widely recognized, and we can all say, all right, this person can actually do this skill. They can code a smart contract, and they're hireable, because it's really hard to find talent in the space and workforce in general. So how do you make that better? And we believe it's the tokenization of skills and applying those skills to individuals, and making sure the universities have the means to do that quickly as the sea change comes.
You know, you said a term there, you want to own your piece of the internet. Mm-hmm. It's sort of akin to owning some land. So this is sort of like homesteading the internet and claiming your own data and having the skills to manage that. That's a really innovative way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
So what got you interested in the National DigiFoundry?
Well, you guys are actually doing it, right? So a lot of this space, particularly in the crypto space, it's a lot of great ideas, people raising money, and maybe sometimes it's too much about the raising of the money and not the actual application and building of it. But again, there's not enough talent to do that. That's largely been the choke point for our growth. And I love what the DigiFoundry is doing, is because you're actually applying the technology from jump. It's not, hey, we're going to do this and get a bunch of people together. You're building it, and then people are making it better as a community. And so we're really excited to be a part of that. And you know, the first step is using tokens to gain access to education. But eventually, we want to tokenize and gamify education in general, because our attention spans are getting shorter. We need, you know, we need those dopamine hits. So if you can make it part of, you know, an achievement that's tokenized, I really think we're on our first step to that journey with NDF.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. But Brian, this is not a local thing. You're actually part of an international drive to really professionalize Web3?
Right, so certifications by themselves generally are issued by the local institution.
Okay.
So in a previous version of the Blockchain Academy, we thought that we could just issue the certifications ourselves. The problem with that is then there's no value to the certification because there's no standard that's set. So you could create an academy and then say, my 2-hour course makes you a blockchain developer. You can come to the Blockchain Academy and take, you know, 25 hours worth of coursework and have to do another 20 hours worth of project work to get that same certification. So there was really no standard that was being set.
No equivalence.
Or equivalence. So part of what we knew is we actually had to raise that. We actually had to go out and find ISO.
Okay.
Actually has a standard that's called 17024, and it is the standard for personal understanding and knowledge. And so all of the certifications that we are creating are adhering to this new standard, this international standard. And ISO doesn't issue accreditation to certifications directly. They do it through every country group. And in the United States, it's ANSI. So ANSI is the approved accreditor for certifications. So we're working with the ANSI people in Washington, D.C.
And ANSI is what?
ANSI is the American National Standards Institute. We're working with them in Washington, D.C. to make sure that all of the certifications that we have not only meet what's referred to as a job task analysis, but once we have a job task analysis associated with a certification, we then work through what's called a blueprint. Once we've then built the blueprint, which is the knowledge base that a person has to have for that specific certification, then we have to go and create the assessment. But the assessment is just not just a couple of people creating these questions. Each question has to go through a bias analysis through a psychometrician. A psychometrician is a professional who goes through and makes sure that there's a question is asked in such a way and the answers are answered in such a way that there is no bias based on race or gender or even, you know, generational functions. So I'm obviously not a Gen Z person, but it would happen. I know, it's deceiving. But that's what we're trying to do. And that's the effort that we're going through, simply because then all of these standards, because we're adhering to the ISO standard, they'll be accepted by governments around the world, therefore by corporations.
You know, this is really amazing. One thing that kind of gave me a chuckle is that you're actually using NFTs for this. I mean, you know, the big craze was about buying and selling NFTs and investing in NFTs. But Ryan, you're using NFTs to indicate the certifications and the name. That really gets me.
Yeah, so there's a big difference to the NFTs we're focused on, and it still the industry's getting there, and it has to do with identity. So they're either called identity tokens or soul-bound tokens, meaning it's an NFT that, you know, is typically an image or something along those lines, and it's a record that you receive, and once you achieve it, once it comes to you, and this can be same for vital records, birth, marriage, death certificates, it's all tied to the individual, so that cannot be transferred. It has no monetary value outside of what it means to the individual, right? And so we believe that soul-bound tokens are going to be more important. Your health records will eventually be identity tokens. It'll all be tied to the individual. Again, this is coming back to the data and you owning your own data. So we feel, you know, when you graduate from a great institution like University of Texas San Antonio, you get a degree, but a lot of times you're like, oh, I need my transcript. What? Why don't you have your transcript? You got to go back to the bursar's office. They're like, well, it's $50. And so like, but I already paid $50,000, right?
So
the point is, once you achieve something or once it's really your data, it should be tied to you as the individual and you should have control over it, right?
You know what? When you think about it, this is the ultimate when it comes to a digital asset. I mean, it's your soul.
Right.
So I really love the way you guys are approaching this, and the innovations are going to be, I mean, awesome. So thank you very much for joining me here to talk about the innovations that you're doing in creating the ultimate digital asset. And thank you very much for joining us in Digital Asset Innovators. Please visit the National DigiFoundry, digifoundry.org. Thank you.
Thank you for supporting Digital Transformers and for being a part of our global Supply Chain Now community. Please check out all of our programming at supplychainnow.com. Make sure you subscribe to Digital Transformers anywhere you listen to or view the show, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next time on Digital Transformers.